WHHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. 20 living Israeli hostages welcomed home today. A hostage group says four of the dead will be returned Monday in the West Bank. Crowds greeted hundreds of Palestinian prisoners released from Israeli jails. President Trump spoke to the Israeli Knesset after the exchange.
Immediately demilitarized, that Hamas will be disarmed, and Israel's security will no longer be threatened.
Knesset Speaker Amir Ohana paid tribute to Mr. Trump.
You have proven that true peace is achieved through strength, and that only those who are prepared to use force in the present can prevent the need to use it in the future.
President Trump travels to a peace summit in Egypt next. Mahmoud Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority, has already arrived. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. FEMA is accepting applications for flooding damage until November 12th. However, the Wisconsin Emergency Management Administrator, Greg Engel, recommends that people don't wait until the last minute. You will need to share information on the assistance application, such as your Social Security number and annual household income, and a FEMA inspector will contact you to set up a time and date to perform an inspection. FEMA inspectors will always carry an official photo ID and never ask for any bank information or charge a fee for inspection. If you are unsure whether a visit or call is legitimate, contact the FEMA helpline to verify at 800-621-3362. It's time for the Fall Drug Take-Back event. This is for unwanted, unneeded, or expired prescription and over-the-counter medications you need to dispose of safely. You should keep them in their original containers with the identification of the medicine intact. You should remove the patient's name. In Portage County, collections will start as soon as October 20th in Rochald. October 22nd will be in Amherst, October 23rd in Junction City, and October 25th in Stevens Point and Almond. In Wood County, collection events happen on Saturday, October 25th, at multiple locations. Marshfield City Hall, Pick and Save in Wisconsin Rapids, the Pittsville Police Department, and the Port Edwards Fire Department. In Adams County, collection will take place at the Town of Rome Police Department. The Wisconsin DNR reminds the public that candlelight hikes, fall festivals, and other seasonal events will be held throughout October and November at Wisconsin State Park System properties. With over 307,000 acres of public land, state parks, forests, recreations, and trails host some of the state's best fall foliage and fall color viewing. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Dodgers in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, the best of seven. Manager Pat Murphy asked about how the Dodgers have yet to beat the Brewers this year.
Your team handled the Dodgers 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overconfident, that's for sure. Dodgers are a powerhouse. What can you say? You don't see many commercials anywhere across the world and you don't have Dodgers in it because they have the star power. They're great players.
Game one tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks and Bulls got physical last night in Chicago. Bulls guard Emmanuel Miller left due to a chipped tooth. Another Bulls player with a cut above the eye. Dalian Terry ejected after a fight with the Bucks' Taurean Prince. Milwaukee won the preseason contest 127-121. NFL, Packers with a 27-18 victory over the Bengals thanks to some key receptions from rookie Matthew Golden.
Man, he adds another explosive playmaker. I think he made some big time plays today.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today, and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low right around 40 degrees. And for tomorrow, partly sunny and a high close to 60. Right now it's 53.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning. It is October 13th. It is Indigenous Peoples Day. It's a holiday for some folks. Parker Olson producing the show down in Madison Studio A2. And joining us now from Madison Studio A1, our friends from 92.7
WMBX.
It just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
I know. Got to get rid of the seven, but then no one will listen.
Yep, there's John and Gordy. Guys, how are you?
Good. Doing all right, Pat. How are you? Happy Monday.
It's nice. It's a nice Monday. Nice to be able to wear the Brewer gear for a little bit longer here. Heading into game one of the league championship series. Yeah,
see this right here, right on.
Oh, there it is. Yes. It's subtle. It's understated. And yet
it's a Brewer t-shirt.
Yeah. And I put all my Cubs gear away for another year.
Aww.
I know.
A whiner.
No, speaking of whining, let's get Gordy into this right away.
Okay.
There were at the team photo after defeating the Cubs on Saturday, Trevor McGill grabbed one of the L flags from one of the fans and held up a fly the L flag above the team photo. And you heard from some social media circles, you had that's just poor sportsmanship. And and yet there are also Cubs fans who were like, oh yeah, we'd have totally done the same thing. I mean, they get it in the moment of beating your division rival. Yeah, so Gordy, Milwaukee Brewers flying the L, classless or understandable?
I get it, and I like the Brewers. I mean, I grew up in around Chicago and moved up here, 25 years ago or whatever it was, 30 years ago. But, I now that the Cubs are out of it, I'm going to root for the Brewers.
I'll throw my two cents in. Yeah. I'm from Milwaukee and I ought to know. old beer slogan.
Is that Pabst? Blue Ribbon?
Yes, it's Milwaukee. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yes.
I'm
singing it in my head right now. But I think that because this rivalry is so friendly, I actually think it's a friendly rivalry. I think that it's okay to do the L flag.
Yeah.
In fun, poking fun. So that's where I stand on it.
Okay.
And I'm not inebriated.
There are still plenty of folks, scattered throughout Wisconsin, older folks who predate the Brewers' arrival in 1970. Yes. So the Cubs were all that they knew and continue their Cubs fandom to this day. That is completely understandable. Yes. It's just that this year it feels particularly good because first it was against a division rival, one managed by our former manager Craig Counsell, and now the next step is to exercise the demons of 2018 in going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I am nervous about it, don't get me wrong, but the fact that we swept the Dodgers in all six games this season, and with everything else that this team has done, I'm not sitting here fixated on losing to them in 2018. It's now about, no, I think we can take these guys this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody's jumping in to agree with this.
No, well, no, I agree.
Hey, Dodgers have a great team. I mean, yeah. They wouldn't get this far if they weren't great. And
well, or have a $500 million payroll.
You know, well, there you go.
As well. Which, if maybe we could take the Dodgers payroll and just use that to buy out Luke Fickell, and then everybody would be happy, you know?
Well, I'm not really into baseball very much, but I have to say that the Brewers look not as sharp as they could have looked during the series.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just an observation I'm making. I don't know a lot about it. And by the way, why do they change pitchers so often during the playoffs? Well,
that's a great observation. They do that. Playoff baseball is a little bit different than regular season. So they use their best pitchers and they use them as often as possible, depending on what the lineup looks like.
Yeah.
So, those games are spaced out enough that they can use their pitchers and they're ready to go, two or three days later again. So they use the very best.
Well, okay. But, the pitcher, like, three strikeouts in a row, and then they replace him. Yeah. And I'm just like, what's going on here? I just don't understand baseball.
Yeah.
I do, and I am so looking forward to this. But there will be these nerve-wracking moments, like when Jacob Mizrowski was on the mound.
Yes.
Because he'd been so erratic at times.
Yep.
That it was nice to see, he kept thinking, except for giving up the one home run, which really frightened me for a moment, but he kind of held it together after that. So I'm just thrilled to have, mid-October baseball that is still relevant. By the way, real-time corrections here. The song lyric goes, "We're from Milwaukee and we ought to know. It's good old Blatt's beer wherever Blatt's you go. Beer. Kegs, cans, and bottles all taste the same. The three best is one beer. Blatt's is the name."
It was
marketed directly against Pabst Blue Ribbon in the so-called working class market of the time.
Well, that didn't work out in the long term, did it?
We thought it was Pabst. Yeah, well, Blatt's went away a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, Blatt's went away. I haven't even heard of Schlitz is long gone. And
you would have think they would have played off the name Blatt's. You know, I'm getting Blatt's. Right?
Why not? Let's stand Blatt's.
Yeah. Sounds like something out of The Simpsons. They would have had a lot of fun with that instead of beer. Goodness. Mm. Yeah, talking to John Accordi here. In the Chicago area, Old Style was like the king of the market there. This beer brewed in La Crosse for all those years. And there were some good stories there about the marketing of Old Style down there back in the day, and people just really responded to it, probably because they didn't want to drink anything out of Milwaukee with the rivalry and everything else. But this would be this is under the category of Madison history here. Because Milwaukee, it was all Blatt's and Schlitz and Pabst for a while. And Miller was kind of like, on the undercard. But Miller somehow has survived everybody. But in terms of history of Madison, I wonder, would somebody be able to say, oh my gosh, in the 50s or 60s or 70s, I mean, it was this, if it was Old Style or if it was one of the Milwaukee beers or, heaven forbid, something from Missouri.
Wow. That's actually a really good question.
Yeah, I can't think of any beer in
who's
Madison.
The official beer historian of the Madison market, I wonder.
We'll have to find that person now, I guess.
That's
our homework. Thank you.
That's for the homework. No problem. Yeah. Things change. I'm sitting here over at the home of Leinen Kugels, and that brewery ain't producing Leinen Kugels anymore.
That's sad.
Yeah, whatever happened? Did they have the restaurant, or did they keep that
they open? Oh, yeah. They have the Liney Lodge, which is basically a gift shop and a tasting facility. They're still using part of the brewery for, I forget how they call it, like test brews or micro brews or whatever like that.
Yeah,
they're allowed to do that. And so, they're trying to milk whatever they can out of the name for as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And now you kind of are in that period of, later on, nobody was drinking Pabst for the longest time. And now PBR is back, and now there's a Pabst Light that is really catching on. And so what will be the future of Leinen Kugel? And will that come back? And you really have to have a history discussion like this to realize, things do change. It doesn't seem like it, but over time, people's tastes change as well.
Well, that's
true.
But Hibernia is like a really popular around Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Right? They've got a brewery right there and everything. Yeah.
There was a Hibernia in Eau Claire as well. And then Walter's Beer. which we mocked. We did a commercial at the college TV station. The slogan was, "Come taste what's flowing through Eau Claire." Walter's beer did not make it. Tony writes on YouTube, "The beer historian of Madison is Luke Mathers, I believe." That could be, but he's off really? Today, so we can't ask him about that. We're talking to John and Gordy from 92.7 WMDX down in Madison. Gordy has spent his weekend not only nursing his wounds from the Cubs losing, but from all the paper cuts you get from moving boxes.
Yes, like moving from one side of town to the other, from the near west side to the far east side.
He's not saying it, but he's moving from where I live to someplace else.
Yeah, I need to be a little farther away.
Thanks a lot, man.
Are you moving on up as George and Wheezy did?
I'm downsizing a little bit. I got too much. The house that I rented the last year and a half or so, it's just, it's too much for me. It's too big. Mm-hmm. I don't need that much space. It was time to downsize. So this is the way I'm doing it.
And your neighbors didn't like it either.
Well, the neighbors didn't like the gazebo in the backyard. I don't know. I don't know what their problem was. Gazebo.
Are you filming Hallmark movies back there?
No, it was all good. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what they found objectionable.
I feel bad about the gazebo. We really didn't go out there and party enough.
That's why I got the gazebo so people could come over and hang out, but nobody did.
It's like nobody comes to your party.
Did the gazebo stay with the house, or did you pack it up? Was it something we can set up?
It was like a portable tent device. Gazebo tent
material. We had to tie it down.
Yeah, think about this.
It was like a tent. But it was great. I mean, I enjoyed my time out there. It was a party of one. But
that would make even for a good studio, because as you know, as you can look on your TV screen and say, Madison Studio A2, of course, is a glorified broom closet.
Yeah.
Imagine if we kind of reconfigured it and put the gazebo in there, and Parker was just always broadcasting from a gazebo, basically playing the role of like Woody Harrelson on Cheers. He's just the friendly young bartender there.
Could you put me on the roof, maybe? I think we could do that.
Yes, I think that the could roof here. Work.
Yeah, sure. We could put the tent up there.
Yeah, that's it.
We've been up there.
Now the gazebo was great for about a year and a half, but then we got some pretty gusty winds. And I would the first year I took it down a couple of times when there were 50-mile-an-hour winds predicted, and I thought, okay, I'm going to take it down. Second year, I thought, you know, it stood up pretty well last year. I'm just going to leave it up. Uh-oh. That was a bad decision because it did start to tear a little bit in a few places. Yeah. And that was kind of a sign.
And Parker's young. Well, yeah, I was going to say Parker's young and skinny enough that it could be a balloon boy situation where he gets blown away with the gazebo.
Yeah. Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Like a hand glider. There you go.
Well, look, just provide traffic reports while you're doing it. At least be useful. I mean, if you're going to get carried away by the wind, at least try to earn that paycheck, okay? And, John, how are you doing? You took a little tumble the other day.
I did. I fell in the yard. I have a very lumpy yard, and I tripped on one of the lumps and landed face first in the grass.
He face planted.
Oh, man. That was something else. Yeah.
Got a little cut on his nose.
Yeah, right on the bridge of my nose. It protected my nose. It's so big that it protected my forehead from hitting the ground.
Built-in airbag? Is that what we're trying to say here?
Yes. Now, I have a border collie, and that border collie followed me into the house. Mm-hmm. Did not do anything else. It made sure that I made it into the house. And, you know, that's what border collies do. You know, that's my pet.
I would have preferred
your finger, too.
Well, I injured my finger on the
just a klutz, Pat.
It hasn't fallen apart.
He's got a brace on a finger.
No, my.
Yeah, you know, we have levers. I like to say lever. It's a lever. Levers. And, you know, I put a lever on all our doors in the house because it's easy when your hands are full of groceries. You know, you just pop the lever up or down, you know. Yeah. But I did that with my finger, and it really hurt a nerve or a muscle, and I'm, you know, injured again.
My goodness.
I know. I'm trying to gather some sympathy around the station.
Maybe we can we nurse it with some Fauerbach beer? Because I've got a guy, Larry from Deerfield, on the line showing us a photo of Fauerbach beer, a Madison brewery. And he says he went to college with Pete Fauerbach, whose dad was the last of the line. Fauerbach beer ringing a bell there?
I think it's in Cross Plains, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Fauerbach. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
I like this. All right. For more scintillating beer history, tune in to John and Gordy weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on our Madison station, 92.7 WMDX. Catch it through the Civic Media app if you're out of town. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day.
All right, thanks, Pat.
You too. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire about support for higher education in Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We want to thank our listeners for following the rapid support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the rapid support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
It's the same as it was then as far as paying for the event, Mike.
Right. The price is the same. It's $5 for adults and $3 for students. Really haven't changed things. You've mentioned before, we try to make things as reasonable as possible so families can come and spend an evening or an afternoon, depending on what the event is, and not spend a fortune to do it. Our main goal has always been to make it affordable.
Yeah, it's so appreciated by the community and us around here and everything. It's noted, and we always like to make sure to note that. One of the other things I wanted to mention as far as tickets are for this, do you need tickets? Can you just come on down?
You just come on down, right. Yeah.
Very cool.
And it's kind of first come, first serve. They'll put you together in groups. I'd say probably don't, since it the last groups go out around 8 or shortly after 8 o'clock, don't probably come down later than 7:30. Otherwise, it might be hard to get a group to go out, you know, towards the end there.
Mm-hmm. And if you are waiting for the other groups to come back, because there's a bonfire, you can sit around and keep warm.
I think it's going to be 72 on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I'm like, of all the years you guys have done this, I don't know if I've ever had to not worry about telling people to dress warm. Yeah. I don't know if I have to mention
freezing that. Rain and everything else in between.
Almost every type of weather has happened. With that being said, this event does take place in Wisconsin, so pay attention to the weather reports.
Sure.
You're making sure, you know, we all know it could change any second. But.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting this year. The people I've contacted to be the different spirits and everything, four of them wanted to be outside. No, I don't know. We got nice buildings that have stoves in them. We have buildings that have fireplaces in them and stuff like that. But for some reason, at least four wanted to be outside. You know, some of those community theater people, Steve Martin, Mike Edgren, they want to be outside.
So. Yeah, that's those guys. The two men I've worked with many, many times, and that does not surprise me one bit. And a shout out to, again, to all the volunteers, all these people being a part of this one. When it comes to volunteering, Mike and Joni, are we looking for more volunteers for the event?
Always.
Okay. What can, if somebody is out there and they are interested in volunteering, what can we kind of tell them would to be expected of volunteering? Just kind of helping out, extra set of hands around?
Well, it just depends what you want to do, whether it's folding envelopes and mailing things, being secretarial, like writing it down. Joni does that for the board and everything like that, and the Citizens Committee. Any of those sort of things that you would like to do. If you want to be one of the characters down the citizens of Point Boss, that's great too. But not everybody wants to do that, and so you don't have to do that. We have maintenance group that works every Monday and a couple days during the week if there's things to do. So we have things of cataloging things. I know we've got a whole bunch of new, especially ladies' costumes. There's some men's costumes that came into the basement of the schoolhouse where we keep that sort of thing. So when people come, they don't have to spend $250 in getting an outfit together. They can borrow some things to find out how they like it before they get really involved in it. And we got all a bunch of things that have to be cataloged and put out. So, I mean, there's lots of things.
We have a sewing committee also that meets at McMillan once a month, and we get together right now. We're working on putting together a raffle quilt for fundraising. And we also could use help with writing grants, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I put a request in. I don't know if Joni's heard of it yet, but Robert Mary Wakely's bedroom, when everybody tours, doesn't have any curtains on it. And Robert Mary Wakely would prefer curtains on his bedroom.
I heard that.
Yeah, okay, good. Right on.
Note to self.
Noted. And Joni, you are so good at this. I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to bring up the sewing classes for adults. I appreciate you kind of bringing this, leading us into it a little bit. Because you guys, this at McMillan, sewing classes for adults, it takes place at McMillan the first Monday of each month. Is that correct?
Right. From 1 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And now... in November is open sew, so just if you want to get together and sew. But in December, there will be a special class that we're partnering with the library to make Christmas mug rugs.
Oh, cool.
Do you know what a mug rug is?
I don't, but it sounds awesome.
You put your coffee mug on
it. Something like this, but made with material.
Yeah, right on. Okay, very cool. Oh, yep. I like this.
Yeah, Kristen, she's got all the kits put together, and so be looking for that information. And then in January, our president, Tina Crummell, will be heading up a class on rug braiding.
Cool. Very cool. And
pretty much that's what they did in those days, James, is they braided rugs. We've got a barn loom upstairs, and that's basically what that does. It went from farm to farm in the fall, and the people saved their rags all year round, and then they braided rugs that they'd have for the next year or so. And this is a loom that's too big for an individual house, but we've got it upstairs because we have no place else to put it. But it's a huge barn loom, but it comes apart down to the minutest material, so it can move easily.
Very interesting. And I don't know if you know this or not, Joni. Maybe you do. I only heard about this in the last couple of weeks from my students. They're from among young people. There is this rise to learn more about sewing. That there's this like gap between generations that just didn't even know how to sew. So a lot of the younger generation, I mean like younger generation, is really getting into sewing, wanting to know more about it. So this is a perfect time to be having a class like this.
It's really cool. Yep.
I imagine you're going to get some a bunch of different types of people, ages-wise and everything with those classes.
McMillan actually has four machines of their own.
Oh, that's right.
So if you don't have a machine and you want to find out what this is all about, that now's the time to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that,
Jordan. Like when we were in high school, James, all of us wanted to get into home ec because that's where all the girls were, but yes. I don't know how much sewing we wanted to do.
I was one of those. Yes, I was guilty of that myself, Mike. Appreciate you guys letting us know about that one. If you want to find out more about that, and of course, the Spirit Walk, you can go to historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com, to find out more information about those.
And just a reminder, James, for everybody, that's on two Saturdays, the 18th and 25th, 6 to 8 p.m., so if you can't make the first one for some reason, come to the 25th or vice versa. And also, a lot of times we see people come on the 18th, they bring their friends on the 25th, so they come two times. They liked it so well.
And if you're lucky, you're walking out there in the moonlight, the darkness, you'll hear a coyote.
Just adds to things. Oh, I love it. You have the live surroundings, the live soundtrack, if you will, of the great area over there. It's a great time. It's a wonderful time. And especially if you haven't been to the Historic Point Bus before or in a while, this is a great one to come on down to. Historic Point Bus Spirit Walk, Saturday, October 18th. And then on the 25th, the week later, 6 to 8 each day.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. Isabella Nieto has more.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and serves as a reminder that understanding your personal risk could save your life. Dr. Cecilia Strode is an Aspirus Health breast surgeon. She says some patients are at a higher risk than others.
We would like to see the cancers that we see to be screen detected, and for that to happen, we need women to have the screening that is appropriate for them at their particular level of risk.
Family history, genetics, and other health factors can increase your chances of developing breast cancer. Strode says while family history is an important part of identifying risk factors, it's a small part.
Most patients who get cancer, breast cancer, don't have an actual family history of breast cancer in close relatives.
Strode says patients who have received treatment for other cancers also have a high risk of developing breast cancer.
Women who have high-risk breast biopsies with atypical findings, women who have had chest wall radiation as part of cancer treatment at a younger age, before 30. And then there are some other things as well, but those are the big ones.
Breast tissue density can also increase your risk. Strode says denser breast tissue requires more detailed scans.
For women who have really extremely dense breasts, and that is an official term, extremely dense breast, MRI imaging is going to be a much better way to screen.
Strode says even women who have had mammograms that appeared normal need to have a clinical breast exam in case they do need a biopsy. Strode recommends women get their mammograms and disclose any changes they have noticed in their breasts to their healthcare provider. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low right around 40 degrees. And for tomorrow, partly sunny and a high close to 60. It's 55 right now.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinair is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Along with the daily newsletter from Up North News, our friends here at Civic Media have a daily newsletter that they have begun recently over at Substack. To sign up, head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, that's civicmediatoday.substack.com to get signed up. It's all about, it's got all kinds of show highlights, talk about the guests, news stories, other links. So get yourself signed up for Civic Media Today. And again, if you didn't follow it earlier, as far as the Brewers playing the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, Game 1. Coverage starts at 6:30 this evening on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. Our guest now is State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, who has put together a new package of legislation designed to strengthen and protect the state's higher education system. And Jody, let's start with the need for a package like this in the first place. Then we'll break down each of the elements. But you know, why did you feel it was necessary to have a package of legislation with all these types of elements? Is it like a lack of support, or do you feel like higher education is being undermined in the state, or what led to this?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pat. I'm the ranking Democrat on our Colleges and Universities Committee, and I've served on this committee since I got into office in 2019, and it feels to me like in that committee, we are just talking about a lot of the perceived boogeyman instead of impacts of things that are really truly impacting students' lives. And, you know, when I talk to students, I'm hearing about the crushing debt that they have. Well, Wisconsin taxpayers pay in about 17% of what it costs for college education now. You know, back when you and I were in school, that was closer to about 50%. And so that's part of the reason why it is so expensive. There's a lot of things that need to change in higher education. I would say respect is a big piece of it. We need to stop having these conversations about, you know,
indoctrination.
Yes,
comes to mind.
I was trying to think of a nice way of putting
The other word that comes to mind is micromanagement. When you talk about what the boogeymen that they're talking about are all these ways to micromanage. Again, the alleged party of small government is all about micromanaging the educators who are there and denigrating them with insults, you know, like indoctrination and things like that. So to actually see a package of legislation that supports higher education is rather noteworthy. So let's break these down. There's five different areas. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of bills that we really highlighted in our press conference last week that really focus on students. You know, the faster that students can get out of school, and with a degree, the more likely they are to pay back their loans and be successful in the future. And so we've got a bill that deals with student success and retention. And we also have another bill that mirrors what is happening in Madison with the Bucky's Promise. So any family that earns under $71,000 for the entire family would get free tuition at any campus around the state. And we think that's, you know, incredibly important. Minnesota has something like that. Several other states do. And this is a bill that says to our working class families, you can get higher education if that's something that you want to do and are willing to put in the work. Don't let money be a factor with this. And then the other three bills that we put out really deal with staff and faculty. So restoring shared governance, restoring tenure, restoring collective bargaining. All these are things that went away during the Walker era when the insult to higher education really started full force in our state. And we think that if we're going to be micromanaging all of these people, we need, at least need to make sure that they've got a seat at the table so that they can have input as well.
So when you talk about restoring shared governance, the decision-making authority for students and faculty, that again, you said that was something that Walker and Republican legislators took away. What is the current situation compared to what it should be under this package?
With the current situation, it's really a top-down approach. If the chancellor wants something, if the Board of Regents wants something, if the president wants something, it's going to happen. So these are all kind of shared governance and collective bargaining really work hand in hand. They're very similar. So think of the workload requirements that came through in the budget for higher ed, for the UWs in particular. This is all being decided at the Board of Regents level, and people who are on campus, who are doing the research, who are doing the work, don't get a say in, you know, does this mentoring of all these students, does that count for a class load or does it not? The universities are not the way that they were back in the 70s, where people go to lectures, they come in, they take a test, and that's their grade. Everything is a lot more hands-on than it ever used to be. And we want to make sure that the workload requirements reflect the work that all of these professors and other teachers are doing.
And then there's also the note there about restoring tenure protections for faculty. And again, that's a famous bugaboo for folks on the far right. So let's take it back to basics and explain why is tenure important? Why is it important for faculty to have the protection of tenure in the ways that they teach their classes?
Yeah, so one of our new people this year, Ben DeSmit, is really leading on this bill, and I wish he was here to really make the case for this. He's worked in universities before and taught classes, and he's got some great arguments for it. But really, it comes down to, it is getting harder for us to recruit people to come in teach at our universities of Wisconsin, whether it's Madison, Milwaukee, or one of the smaller comprehensive campuses around. Not having tenure is a key protection that most people are looking for. That means that if you say one thing wrong that gets blown up on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you won't get fired immediately. Even when there is tenure, there still is a way that people can lose their jobs. So this isn't some almighty protection that people can just, you know, slough off and never work again and still get paid. Tenure just means that in our current political climate, President Trump can't make a phone call and fire somebody.
Or Derek Van Orden, in the case of...
Or Derek Van Orden.
Can't put up a tweet that gets a teacher fired. Yeah, right.
Exactly. You never know what's going to happen. And so in the political climate where higher ed is getting beaten up time and time again, this really does give some protections to people. But the bigger piece that we're seeing is it's impacting who is actually coming into the state and taking these jobs.
We're talking to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire about a package of bills designed to support and strengthen higher education in Wisconsin. And, you know, the topic of tenure protection, I think it's one of those that was prior to this year, it was a little tougher to make that argument because it was easy to paint tenure as something that could be abused. But I think the script has been flipped on this, thanks to Trump and Derek Van Orden and everything in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder, where, you know, people who say they're for free speech until a speech that they don't like. And now they're actually using their power as a congressman, as a president or whatnot, to try to get people fired from their jobs. It seems like this year, amidst the sweeping arm gesture, the wreckage of what we've had to deal with this year, it becomes a little bit easier to stand up for things like actually protecting the free expression of people like university faculty.
Yeah. And I mean, I just want to make it clear that, you know, professors, teachers, assistants, all the folks who who get our keep our universities running, whether it's maintenance workers or whoever, they all deserve a safe place to work. They deserve to be compensated well for their time, and they deserve to have some say in their working conditions. And that's what collective bargaining is. You know, as we saw during the COVID pandemic, I think that really flipped the script on what it's like to have collective bargaining, because it's not just about pay, it's about working conditions as well. Making sure that, you know, it works for your life and being able to have a say in the job that you're taking, I think is incredibly important. And we know that that has been beaten up in the Republican-controlled legislature for going on 15 years now. And if we're going to make changes in this state, these are some of the changes that Democrats would like to be able to see.
We're talking to State Representative Jody Emerson about higher education, and it's just my own opinion on this is it feels like the pendulum is swinging back towards something closer to equilibrium in the sense of how we look at the different types of higher education. We had heard for years that people in the trades, technical colleges and things like that, felt like, you know, the people in the ivory towers were looking down their noses, you know, and that everybody was supposed to go to college. How many times have we heard college is not for everybody? So then there was this emphasis on the trades and on technical colleges and things like that, to the point where I, as, you know, an unabashed supporter of liberal arts, felt like it had flipped. And now there are all these people looking down their noses at higher education. Like, why would you go to college or university? And I feel like we're finally getting back to a point where people go, you know, we don't have to be fighting one or the other. Let's support all the different ways that you can have a healthy, educated workforce and citizenry in the state of Wisconsin. That is that too much to ask?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this package really, some of the bills focus specifically on the universities of Wisconsin, but student success and retention, you know, that is for both the technical schools and the UW. And we need both. If we look at a medical industry, we need the x-ray techs, the ultrasound techs, all of those folks trained at the technical schools. And then we need the RNs and the docs trained at the universities. Both are true. You know, when we look at the roads that we drive on every single day, yep, the road builders need that technical training that comes from the either their apprenticeships or the technical colleges. But we also need the engineer to design the roads that the road builders build. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the great things about the universities of Wisconsin and our technical schools is that they are present in all 72 counties, whether it's a campus or whether it's research that they are doing on behalf of a local Lake Altoona to help the sediment go away, or perhaps they're working with the local governments to help write grants to get better projects done in their area. There is not a corner of this state that isn't part, that doesn't benefit from our universities of Wisconsin and our Wisconsin college technical system. We need to have good discussions about these, make sure that they are fully funded to the best that we can do, so that we've got a well-trained and workforce of the future.
One note on YouTube from PJ says, corporate America caused the problem by requiring a college degree for entry-level jobs that don't exist. I believe that was called the paper ceiling. And yeah, I'm not going to put it all on there. But again, I feel like we're doing a better job of getting back to equilibrium and having, you know, the right-sized qualifications for jobs. But that means the right-sized support for every level of education as well. And some of that is coming through this package of bills introduced by State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire. Jody, always great to talk to you. Thanks for getting up and being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, and go Brew Crew.
There you go. All right. Talk to you later. Thank you. And also, Jody is doing a great job of talking about Universities of Wisconsin. That's the official name now. Some of us are going to call it UW System forever. But anyway, Jane Matinier tells us what's coming up on her program next here across the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When your reputation's on the line, you don't leave anything to chance, especially your primer. Painter's Trust Kills Primers for a smooth start, strong adhesion, and serious stain-blocking power. And now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same-day or next-day delivery, or order online and pick up in-store. Kills Primers. Pro results, faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 4 to 7 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker's Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, and E-Way Sales and Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 4 to 7 if you dare.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are joined now by Jane Matinair, conveniently named host of Matinair on Air, along with Greg Bach, coming up in just a little bit here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, good morning. How was your weekend?
It was wonderful. Obviously happy about the Brewers winning.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great thing. And the Packers pulled it out yesterday, so that's all good. And
yeah.
People are happy.
People are happy. See how nobody's talking about the Badgers? See, we concentrate on the happy stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. See? What? I had no idea. There's some other good news that I'm just seeing now from this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so I'm probably completely stealing Greg Bach's thunder, but it says here, the Laughing Tap is moving to the former Watts Tea Shop location. So I know Greg has been extremely busy on that, and that was announced that at the end of the 20th anniversary of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. So pass along our congratulations to Greg for the new digs.
I will do so. He's very excited, and this was always the plan. They've always been looking for a new space,
mm-hmm.
So it's going to be great when it comes back.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm betting he did not take my advice and basically video the entire search, because in post-production, think of what a great series you could make out of a reality show of a bunch of comedians looking for a new place to put their comedy club.
You know? Oh, the potential. Yes. And huge potential for it. Yep. They did not do
only,
that, I don't
Not
believe.
Only for the funny, but comedians can also be, they can be rather cruel to each other. A little, shall we say, biting, you know?
Oh, extremely.
So I'm looking forward to hearing Greg talk all about the experience at some point here. But there's so much more coming up on Matt and Air on Air. What other things are you talking about this week?
Well, we are Shally Pittman, Civic Media's news director, is going to be joining us after 9:30. We're to talk about the rejection, at least in Mount Pleasant, of that data center. And then the late, it sounds like a little late, opposition to a data center in Port Washington. We're going to talk about that when we head off, lead off the show. And also, I wanted, George Stephanopoulos had J.D. Vance on yesterday.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was really, you know, that's the way to do it. When you get a politician on who refuses to answer your questions, George Stephanopoulos, I thought, handled it in exactly the right way.
It is a, and it, nobody can quibble with it, because to set this up, the current border czar, Tom Homan, is recorded as accepting $50,000 in cash
in a fast food bag.
In a fast food bag last year.
As one does.
Yes, as one does. As part of an FBI investigation into corruption. Now, again, this was during the Biden administration, when you were actually looking for things like, you know, corrupt people who would accept bribes. Mm. Well, now the Trump administration takes over. The investigation conveniently disappears, but there's still one lingering question. Did Tom Homan keep the $50,000 bribe, my words, or did he give it back? Was he required to give it back? It's a very simple question, and the vice president of the United States is only the latest Trump administration official who can't seem to or won't seem to answer whether that bag of cash went back to taxpayers or not.
Well, and whether or not, so Tom, let's say he kept the cash. Did you pay taxes on your bribe?
Yeah.
Not having taken many bribes in the course of my life, I'm not sure exactly what the protocol is.
The protocol I know that if you get that, much like in gambling, you have to report, you have to pay taxes on it.
You do. So yes. I would have to call my tax guy and said, look, I took another bag full of $50,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. I guess I have to report this. Shucks.
Yeah. And look, somebody else will have to investigate it as a bribe. Of course, that investigation, again, mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
But yes, he could still theoretically face tax evasion, but he won't answer the question as to whether he had it. So when J.D. Vance was tap dancing and going, I don't know what to say. And finally, just George Stephanopoulos just cuts him right off.
It was so great.
Perfect.
It was a thing of beauty. It really was.
I'm just glad. Glad that you see this, because I don't like sounding like an old man all the time saying how Tim Russert was the last guy to ask these kinds of questions. I need a new generation of people. Now, George Stephanopoulos is not part of the new generation, but I truly need the next Sam Donaldson, who's out there, you know, who's asking these tough questions, or the original gang from 60 Minutes. And we're just not getting that. We're getting so much of what you would call access journalism that I am so glad to hear that you're going to be, you know, calling attention to the right way to hold an administration accountable.
Well, and you bring up such a good point, Pat, because Donald Trump keeps saying now that they're going to cut drug prices by 1,500%. There has not been one follow-up question from a reporter on how that math works. How does that math? And I don't math myself, but there are people who do. And I know you cannot reduce something's cost by 1,500%.
No.
Unless my statin guy is going to be paying me. They're going to pay me money now, apparently.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that that's not what's going to be happening here. And again, these are things that, I don't know, in the prior administration would have been merciless amounts of coverage. And we don't seem to be getting that here. So that's why we're celebrating this one nugget of accountability in the Sunday morning interviews, because the Sunday morning interviews, quite honestly, have become so useless lately without the appropriate follow up that it's nice to see something as basic as a repeated follow up until you understand that this guy's just not going to answer. So,
yeah,
that's all good.
It was a thing of beauty.
So
it
it was. I know. And then, of course, the previewing some Brewers action against the Dodgers tonight.
Brewers and Dodgers in action. Hopefully we can just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, boom. It'll just be done.
Oh, I like 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, boom.
1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, boom.
There you go, Parker. That's it. That's what we need.
It'll be done.
That's, and we're gonna do it. Brewers and four. Love
it. So.
Jane, Matt, and Eric coming up after the news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jane. Have a great day.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. See you next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much, Parker. Thank you as well. And thanks to all of you for being part of our morning here, powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network at couriernewsroom.com. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Joy from Tel Aviv's hostage square to the West Bank. After news the 20 remaining hostages were headed home and almost 2,000 Palestinians were freed from Israeli jails. Hamas has just announced it will release the bodies of 4 of 28 dead Israeli captives later today. CBS's Deborah Pata says...
In Gaza, we're also seeing incredible scenes as people are being released, prisoners, 250 life sentence prisoners, and nearly 1,900 detainees.
The swap, part of President Trump's peace plan, he spoke in the Israeli Knesset in Jerusalem for more than an hour.
It's an incredible triumph for Israel and the world to have all of these nations working together as partners in peace.
He's on his way to Egypt now for a summit that will include Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas. CBS News Special Report.